The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Miss a segment? Want to share a segment with a friend? Go to SundayMorningNewsmakers.com to catch the podcast. Plus, hear our past shows. That's SundayMorningNewsmakers.com.
Kerry Jackson is a fellow at the Center for California Reform at the Pacific Research Institute. He has put together the book Living in Fear in California, How Well-Meaning Policy Mistakes Are Undermining Safe Communities and What Can Be Done to Restore Public Safety. Hey, Kerry, thanks so much for taking time to be with us on the program today.
Glad to be with you.
Set this up for us, because, you know, in talk radio, different stories come along, different things happen, and you report on them, an initiative or proposition that changes sentencing rules. Those things happen, and then down the line, there are consequences. They're not always tied together like you have done here. Explain what you were setting out to do, and as you flip through the pages of this Living in Fear of California, what you're going to find?
Well, let's go back a little bit, a few years, and not that many, frankly, maybe 15 or so. And California had a reputation, a deserved reputation, for being very, very tough on crime. And in fact, I believe in the book I quoted the New York Times, I think in 2004. But anyway, it was speaking of Democratic Governor Gray Davidson, said he was more conservative on criminal justice issues than his Republican predecessors. So you didn't want to commit a crime out here because the penalties you're going to have to pay are pretty tough. But prisons started getting the populations had grown beyond state prisons, and California had grown beyond their design capacity. And there were some federal, at least one federal court order said you have to start paring back on your populations. So this began, there had been a few policy changes. The first one, I believe, was 2011, going by my memory. And then two more propositions, 47 and 57, mostly designed to meet these goals. And if you look at the data, particularly with violent crimes, after these policies have been in place, the crimes have started creeping back up again. After the pendulum had been swinging downward for a long time, at least the pendulum as far as the crimes were going, crimes committed in this state. So now last 3 years, they've been going back up. So you have to wonder if there is a cause and effect there. Certainly looks like there's a correlation. I think maybe it's too early to really make a definitive, say this is exactly why the crime has been going up because of these policies. We have, the data for 2018 comes out in a little while. Maybe we'll have a little better picture of it by then. But anecdotally, speaking to law enforcement personnel and to prosecutors, they will tell you that these I don't say emptying the prisons, that's the wrong way, but at least cutting back on the populations has had an effect, and it's been an increased crime.
And I've had those same conversations with city officials and law enforcement officials, some of it kind of off the record for background, some of it on the record, but the stories are the same. They talk about instances now when they go to a scene where maybe drugs are being done, or crimes are being done, small burglaries. And because of a couple of these propositions, they have changed the status and values of particular crimes. And they talk about some of the ones like, where the homeless were camping out in a riverbed somewhere. And an officer told me, look, all we can do is hand them a $40 fix-it ticket and take away their drugs. And the next thing you know, they're going to steal from someone else to get their fix on drugs again. Or they'll say, $900. They go into a store with a calculator and figure out how much stuff they can steal to keep it down below a felony. Have you heard these same stories?
Yeah, keep it as a misdemeanor. Things that would have previously been very serious felonies that would have, if you've been convicted of it, you'd have to do hard time, and a good bit of hard time, have been kicked down to misdemeanors. And the cases, maybe they just don't even go to, they don't go to trial. There's a plea. They walk out on probation, these kind of things. Now, I'm not saying every crime has to be spent behind bars in a prison or even a county jail. Some people need just maybe one chance when they kick in the pants with a probation and they get things straight. But the people who are doing the most harm, these are the guys who need to stay behind bars. And it seems like not a lot of them, not enough of them, given the data are.
Yeah. There are two initiatives, and you probably know their numbers, 45, 47, one of those two, that are particularly focused on by law enforcement as having been detrimental to their ability to get people off the streets. Is that correct?
I think you're going to find that complaint among them. As we talked about it, behind the scenes, anecdotally, off the record, background, that kind of things, they're going to tell you that their hands are tied in a lot of cases. And they can't do what they want to do or need to do to keep us safe. So it's you look at these, how this, and again, go back to the pendulum again, how it swung from being a hard on crime, hard on criminal state to, let's make it a little easier. Let's not be so tough on people. You're going back in the other direction. And I think we're going to see again, the data for 2018 is due out probably within a month, maybe 3 weeks.
Right.
And we may see a long-term upswing in crime.
Yeah. Is this driven by a change in demographic, a more liberal left meaning? I mean, you have a governor who announced before he became elected that he was he was personally opposed to the death penalty, but he would let it stand. He becomes governor, and almost the first month he announces, hey, I am not going to carry out the death penalty under my watch. Sorry, now that I am the governor, I just can't do it. That's another one that raised a lot of reaction. Your reaction?
Well, these are the folks who are making policy in our state. So, and we see that the policy that comes out of this, again, the propositions 47 and 57 were passed by the voters. But at the same time, who is behind these? Who put these out there? Who started this? So if you look at the policies that we're under now, you have to look at the folks who are putting these policies into place.
Yeah. There was also AB 109. In fact, they referred to them as the AB 109ers. Back when California's economy hit the skids, combined with the prison system being overcrowded, you had this dumping down the line to the local jails of inmates, and they didn't have the room, so people served a very short sentence, got out, and then recommitted crimes, and they would refer to them as the AB 109ers.
Well, yeah, and that was 2011, took effect, AB 109. But we also have an interesting situation, too, where county jails have typically been not, I guess, unless you're in Rikers Island in New York, but county jails have not been hard-time places. But now, they're putting a harder criminal element. They're moving them into county jails because they can't keep them in the state prisons, and they're becoming very difficult, very dangerous, treacherous places. And not everybody who's doing a short stretch for a DUI or something in a county jail who is not a violent person, might get caught up in being, being injured, shall we say, in these more dangerous places. So, it's been a bit of a trickle down from the prisons to the jails. And I found this, I think they're only really coming to grips with this, maybe not even grips, but just sort of recognizing this phenomenon right now. I've only run into it myself fairly recently.
Kerry Jackson is with us. The book is Living in Fear in California, How Well-Meaning Policy Mistakes Are Undermining Safe Communities and What Can Be Done to Restore Public Safety. Let's take that last sentence. What can be done to restore public safety? There are some theories that California has gone so far to the left that it is not going to come back in this area, that it's just going to implode and collapse. You've got homelessness pretty much out there at huge levels. Lawmakers there, certain rulings and judges have made it so you can't do a lot with these folks who are on the street, that they have a right to stay there unless you have a roof over their head set to go. Talk with us about this, because to some people it's a conundrum that it's not going to end. Do you see a solution?
As I'm sure there's some very bright people out there with solutions that are hopefully working on them now. You hope, sometimes it takes a catastrophic event or a series of catastrophic events to wake people up, and you hope it doesn't come to this. I think we're seeing that happening in San Francisco, where the homelessness has become such an overbearing problem.
Yeah.
That people who have some political poll are saying, okay, we're tired of it. Let's get this thing fixed.
Needles on the street, feces on the street. We're seeing some violent crime incidents from the homeless here in Southern California. You're also seeing the resurgence of certain diseases that put the public at threat here in Southern California. So there's some catalysts at work. I mean, they're terrible things that could happen.
They are. And that's, you know, in China or back in, or in the third world or medieval times with these particular diseases. But the same question was asked to me yesterday, and my response was, again, about what can we do. The people who are making laws in Sacramento are our neighbors. They're your neighbors, and every listener has a neighbor who is either in the Assembly or the Senate. These are the people you need to talk to point out what's going on in your neighborhood. Things need to be changed. We can't allow this to go on. And I will sympathize somewhat with the folks in Sacramento. I mean, they have an obligation to protect the public from, they have an obligation to victims, for one thing, but an obligation to protect the public from future crimes. At the same time, you don't want to live in a police state either. I don't think California necessarily is a police state prior to this, but you don't want to go too far in the other direction.
No. We haven't even talked on the illegal immigration issue. There are certain lawmakers and leaders of communities, mayors, who want to shelter or give warning to illegals when pickups by ICE might take place, even for those who've committed violent crimes. They deny it, but they do it.
I find that to be an oddity that I can't wrap my head around. We've all been watching that in sanctuary cities, and you go in your head, why? What they profit from this? Is it simply a matter of virtue signaling, telling others how morally superior they are?
Right, but the line, and Governor Newsom did some sort of reaction to President Trump announcing that he wants to round up those who are in the country illegally or that have committed crimes. He comes in with this line about separating families, family separation. So you know where it's going. We're out of time. If people want to find out more, get a copy of this, Kerry Jackson, where can they do that?
PacificResearch.org and look under research areas, click on the California, and your ability to buy the book is there. You can also go to Amazon.com for one, and should be available in other online bookstores.
Living in Fear in California is the name of the book. How well-meaning policy mistakes are undermining safe communities. What can be done to restore public safety? Kerry Jackson is your name. You've written about a lot of these stories, laid it out with some stats, very well laid out. An interesting read. Anybody who is thinking crime, it's definitely going up. You've kind of put it all together here to show what's going on. Kerry, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
AM 870, The Answer. 3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.